Happy New Year. Welcome back to The Empowered Homeowner. We're at that time of year where we're excited about the new things that are coming our way. And for me, I love a house project. You know, as we start to put away the holiday decorations and the gatherings start to slow down, I am all about, what does my house look like this year? When we do put away the decorations and the tree comes down and the lights go away, our house can look a little blah. And you start to sit there and go, maybe I want to repaint. Maybe I want new curtains. Maybe I want, you know, new flooring, all of these projects. And it can be a little overwhelming. So today's episode is going to be about new projects and the new year. And how do you tackle them? How do you take all this big brain energy that you have of all the ideas that you've seen on Pinterest and on Instagram? And you're like, I want that. How do you wrestle all of that up and go, oh my God, I want to get this done. I need a roadmap. So that is what we're going to tackle today, is how do we create that space and approach it in a way that meets our time, our budget, our skills, and the tools in our toolbox. That's going to be what we're going to focus on, because I want to make sure that you have the knowledge, the skills, and the guts to take care of these projects. Because I've said this before, and one of the things that drives me so much in this work that I do with educating homeowners, especially women homeowners, is the understanding that every single one of you deserves a home that is safe, that is functional, and beautiful. I don't care whether you are on the Walmart budget or you have an Ethan Allen restoration hardware budget. That is what each of you deserves. And I want to make sure that I can help you get to that point. And, you know, the beautiful piece of that can vary for a lot of people. Some people are minimalistic. Some people like rich furnishings and lots of colors and textures and patterns, and everybody is different. But I want to give you some of the basic foundation on how do you tackle that big dream, that big wish list, because I know you have it. You walk from room to room in your house and you're like, oh, I wish that would go. I wish I had a different that, and I wish this was different. Well, you can stop wishing and start doing by tackling things in a methodical way. And I know if my husband is listening, he'll be laughing his butt off, because I tend not to be so methodical, but I can kind of hone in when it's project time and get things done in a way that makes sense. Because if you are determined enough, you will figure it out, girls. I promise you, you can do this. So let's talk about budgeting and the planning and the execution of these wish lists. So we're going to tackle, first things, setting a budget. The budget, I know that's the part none of us like. We wish we had the unlimited budget, but we have to hone in on that first, because that does guide a lot of what we're going to do, is how much money can I comfortably spend on this project? Now, it could be the project is updating your kitchen. Now, some of you might say, yeah, I'm committing $100,000 for a full kitchen renovation. Now, if you do want to tackle something like that, you know, I've had pros on the show. I've had the crew from Car Home and LBK Design Build. You know, both of these companies are in Bucks County and they are great crews. Those are your people to check out for the big renovations. But if you want to update that kitchen and you're talking small budget, whether it's $500, $1,500, maybe $5,000. What can you get done for that money? And what is your priority in that space? So again, with that budget, do you have that set number of spending dollars that maybe you have saved and you have in your bank, and you go, okay, I do have $2,500 that I want to use to upgrade a room in my house? Or are you committed to, I'm going to put, you know, the materials on my credit card, but I know I can pay it off at the end of the month. Or I'm going to take maybe a home equity loan to do a project, and I'm going to borrow $25,000 to update the space, and I can pay that off monthly. Do some thought ahead of time as to what you're going to do to pay for this renovation, okay? I don't want you to jump into, I'm just going to do it. And then before you know it, you're panicked because you're struggling financially to make sure you're covering all of your costs. So that has to be the first thing. So what can you do is be realistic with what you can spend your money on, okay? Again, using a home equity loan and all of those, how are you funding your project? And then I want you to prioritize. I know we all have the needs versus the wants. And the needs are the things we have to do, and the wants are the things that are fun. And yes, it might be a want that you want to redo your fireplace, right? You want to put in a gas fireplace and, you know, switch and do a big stone mantle or whatever. But maybe that's not the need that you have. Maybe you have appliances that need to be replaced. Maybe you have a door that isn't latching anymore or is not very weather efficient and you need to do something with that. All of these things, you have to balance those needs and the wants and figure out what is a priority in this moment. So I'm going to walk you through how to assess that, but maybe dealing with the leak under the bathroom sink has to be the priority, even though you really don't want to deal with that, but that's where your DIY dollars have to go. So think about that. Another thing that a lot of folks don't think about when they make renovations in their house is what is appropriate for my neighborhood? What is appropriate for the value of your home on the market? So if your home, say, is, you know, valued at, you know, $400,000 or $450,000, maybe you're not going to put in, you know, $150,000 kitchen, you know, with all the bells and whistles and the high-end, you know, features, because when you go to sell the house, you're not going to get that in any return. Now, I'm not saying every renovation or upgrade has to have that kind of a return, but you want to think about, are you creating a house that's going to be outstanding in your neighborhood in terms of the real estate market, and what's the right thing for you to add to that house? So maybe you're not going to put, you know, full granite countertops into your little rental flip that could certainly use an updated look of Formica instead, where you're spending, you know, $700 on Formica on this little area versus $3,000 in granite. So do your homework and really understand the materials you're putting in and what you're doing to change your space. Another thing is, are you coming or going in your house? Are you staying in your house long-term? So before you put your DIY dollars into this, you know, refresh, are you doing it with the idea that I'm going to be selling in a year? Or are you thinking, wow, I'm going to make this room what I want because I know I'm still going to be here, you know, 7 to 10 years from now. So that's important too, because that helps you decide on design features. Even if all you're doing is painting your space, okay, we're not talking major renovations, painting your space a more neutral color when you know you're going to list in a year is smarter than painting it your dream favorite color because you're going to be enjoying that space for 7 to 10 years. So think about the value you're adding to the space with this upgrade and how long you're going to be there to enjoy it. And are you doing it to sell or doing it to stay? And then DIYing on a budget. This has been my whole life. And I think I've shared before, we grew up in a house where we were, you know, hardworking, you know, family. My dad was not college educated. My mom was a stay-at-home parent. And we live paycheck to paycheck many times. So I understand DIY on a budget. We shopped thrift stores and yard sales, and we DIYed and we reused materials and all of those things because we had to. And I totally understand that that is the way of life for people. And I still do this. My husband laughed at me this past weekend. I bought a used piece of furniture on Facebook Marketplace for $50. And I went and spent $50.28 on fabulous paint and new paintbrushes. So I spent more on my materials than I did on this, you know, buffet server for my family room. And I was happy as a pig in poo because I have this beautiful new piece and it was like $100. So I still live that way. And there's a lot of joy and passion. So figure out what is that budget and how can you break down your projects into what do you need to hire somebody for? What can you DIY? What can you repurpose? And there's a way to stretch your DIY dollars so you can have that space that you want and still stay on budget because it matters, okay? We can have our space and we can enjoy it beautifully as well. So you got to create your wish list. And how do you do that? I know you are overwhelmed just by seeing everything on social media and you're like, oh, I want that. That looks so beautiful. Just because it looks pretty doesn't mean it works, doesn't mean it's practical. But I want you to open your eyes with kind of, I guess, a dreamy palette, but also a pragmatic palette and get a notebook and then walk room by room in your house and write down what are the things in the spaces in your house that you don't like. What are the things that you wish were different? Now, for some of you, this is going to be a long notebook, okay? And I totally get that. So take a notebook, have one page per room, and you're going to start writing down all the things that bother you. So I can tell you right now, just from memory, out of my own house, my family room, okay? We have tongue and groove beadboard paneling from the bottom half down with a chair rail. And it has been on there for 26 years. It went from pine, then painted white many years ago. I want to rip that off. So I know when I walk in my family room, I want to take off all of the beadboard paneling from the bottom half. And I want to spackle, refinish the walls, and paint. So I know that is a priority for me. I also know when I walk in that I want to repaint the entire room. I want to go for a different shade of green. I know that the ceiling needs to be repainted because we have had a small leak and I did a touch up, but I know that I would like to repaint that. So walking in that space, I know there's those three things right there. I'm going to be doing painting. I'm going to be doing some wall repair, taking off the old beadboard. I also know I want new window treatments. I want to have new drapes. Now, that is something that I will probably sew myself because I know how to make, basic drapery panels. So make the list. Write it down. I don't want you to judge yourself. I don't want you to criticize. I don't want you to be thinking, oh, I can't afford it. Write down what the wish is because we'll figure out how to get the wish executed later. So make your wish list. We're going to organize that list later. So you're just going to do a brain dump in that space. Now, you're not committing to doing this all. You're putting your wishes out because manifestation and intention is all important. So you're just kind of get this out of your brain so it doesn't keep you up at night like it does me, all the things I would like to do around the house. Now, you can include the big projects too, and you can also include the little ones like, oh, I want to organize that closet. I need to put shelf liners in. I need to, replace a wall switch outlet cover because maybe that plate cover cracked, you know, and I know it's all of $3, but I just have to remember to buy it at Home Depot. So everything that you see in the room that you think needs attention or you would like to change, get it on the paper so it's out of your head. Then we need to identify off that list, what are some of the priorities? So after you have kind of done that brain dump, and you have it on your paper, I want you to come back with maybe a highlighter and highlight what are the things that need to be done. What are the things that are either safety-minded or things that, if left ignored, are going to create a bigger problem. Like I mentioned, a leaky faucet. Yeah, it may not be your priority and you've got a little bowl under there and it just keeps collecting water and you spill it out. But what if you forget? What if you're not there to empty it? And then before you know it, you have water. Okay, that is something that needs to be tended to. So you've got your list, your brain dump, and then you're going to highlight the things that need your attention sooner than later. Okay? Now, when I was a kid, we were a DIY house. Okay? My parents loved to do it in the house, in the garden. So my dad created a job jar. And my dad would write down on scraps of paper what are some of the projects that needed to be done around the house. And then on a Friday night, he would literally pull from the job jar what is a project that needed to get done, and it would kind of tell him what he was going to do the weekend. That's a fun way to decide on what your projects are. Now, granted, you're not going to put renovate kitchen in your job jar, okay, because it's not a weekend. So you're going to take projects that you look at and think, this is a small project. This is something that might take an hour. It might take 2 hours. You're going to put those types of projects on paper in your job jar so you can pull from those because they are more attainable. And I will tell you, if you build some of these little projects in with the bigger ones, okay, even the medium ones, and you get the little ones done, you are going to feel more confident because you're getting somewhere. If all you have on your list are big projects that take you weeks or months, you're going to feel very frustrated, like you're not getting things done. So love a job jar. It's a fun way to get some things done quickly. Now, I do have a form that I created for my husband and I that I take all of the things from my brain dump and I put them onto the form. And on the form, I have the room, I have the type of the project, what is the project, the task that needs to be done. And then I have next to it, what are the skills? And not that I'm writing out the skills, but do I have the skills? So I have the task, I have skills, and I have tools. So I will check the box, meaning I have the skills to do that task and I have the tools to do that task. So say it is, I want to tile the backsplash in my kitchen. So I would look at that and I would go, yes, I have the skills. I've done many tile projects. I love tile. I have the tools. I own all of the equipment to do a tiling project. So the last column there is the time. Tiling a kitchen backsplash is more than a weekend task for most people, okay? So that might be 2 weekends, especially if you are a novice, depending on how many cuts you have, depending on the size of the tiles, like all of those things come into play. So you have to look at that and go, okay, this backsplash project might take me 3 weekends. So do I have the time? Am I committed in the next month to get this done? So I have the task, I have the skills, the tools, and the time columns. So I can look at all of the projects and I write them on my list. And then I can decide, based on that, what projects am I going to get done first? Because you can see how complicated they are. Is it something that you need to borrow a tool for? Do you have to buy a tool? All of that will make breaking this down for you that much easier. Okay? It's not about doing this all at once. You're getting it out of your brain. You're getting it on paper. And it also starts conversations with your partner, with your family, with your kids. So maybe you find out that, somebody else in the house, you know, is staring at the same thing and going, oh, I hate that. And they'll help you. And now you've got a buddy on this project. So it's a way to organize yourself to move forward. And you're going to also break things up by season. One of the things that you would like to get done, well, you're certainly not going to start, updating your kitchen. I'm not saying fully renovating and gutting, but updating your kitchen December 2nd, okay, if you're hosting for the holidays, right? You don't want to put that pressure on yourself because then you get sloppy and you're not doing work well. So if you are hosting for the holidays, so maybe you know you want to have this done by December 15th, maybe this is a project that you're going to start in September so that you have plenty of time to repaint and do whatever. Think about the season as to where those projects will fall so that you have a way to organize them. Now, when it comes to assessing your skills and your tools, this is really important. You need to be honest with yourself and assess what is in your toolbox, okay? You might think that you're going to do that backsplash. I've seen it on TV. I watched my brother-in-law do it. I can get that done in a weekend. If you have never cut a tile before, it's going to take you more than a weekend, okay? There is the planning. There is the shopping. There is the gathering of your tools and materials and staging your workspace and prepping. And then there is the execution and what do you do if something goes wrong and what do you do if you know, oh, wow, the kid just fell and now we have to take them to the emergency room. And, you know, you have to expect that life happens. So planning for that, you need to assess what your skill set is and the time that's going to take you. When you're assessing your skills, maybe you know, well, I've seen that project done. I have helped on that project, but I think I need someone else with me to help motivate me to make sure I'm not making mistakes, to tell me the things that I don't know that I don't know so that I can get it done easier. Well, maybe you have a friend who has done a project before. Maybe you have your dad who can come and help you and you don't want him to do it for you and you have that conversation up front. You want him to be there to be your buddy and to be your partner so that you can learn so you can tackle more projects later. Or maybe you have access to me because that's one of the things that I do as a service is that I will go into women's homes and I will work with them on a project. So I will bring my tools, I will bring my experience and my skill set, and I will do the project with you so that you learn how to do it with somebody supervising you and somebody coaching and guiding you. So that's important to understand your skill set. Then when it comes time to talk about the tools, the physical tools, what do you have? You've got to do a little bit of research. People have heard me talk about that 1-2-3 Home Depot, I guess it's a textbook that they have on DIY. I love that book. And every project it lists, these are the kinds of tools that you need. You need to figure out what you're going to need. What do you own? What do you need to rent or borrow or buy? And what's the right investment? If you are going to do one small backsplash in a kitchen and it's a small space, maybe you don't need to buy the wet saw. Maybe you want to borrow a wet saw. If you've got a lot of projects you want to do in your house, maybe you want to do a lot of molding upgrades. You want to change all of the baseboards in your house. You want to be doing raised panels, you know, wainscoting panels. You want to be doing shiplap and all kinds of carpentry projects, then buying a miter saw is a really smart investment. I've heard people say to me, well, I'm just going to go rent the tool. Let me explain the tool rentals. You can go rent a tool, which is great, but you have that tool for 24, 48, 72, whatever the time frame is. You are now pressured to get that project done before that tool has to be returned. And that can really cause people to make mistakes because you're rushing and you're trying to get it done faster because you have to return the tool. So what I've often suggested to people is if you can borrow it, that's a little bit easier. It takes the pressure off. And there are times that I will go look to Marketplace, Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, and buy a used tool because then you're buying it at half the cost typically, and then you're not in a rush. And then here's another trick. You buy the brand new tool. You use it for your project. And then you sell it on Facebook Marketplace because you're done with it. And you're now getting money back for your investment. And it's like a rental because you're just selling it. So think about doing that on some of those bigger power tools. Now, in terms of the basic hand tools and all that, yes, if you need to treat yourself to better screwdrivers or a power drill, everybody needs a power drill, then that's okay. You want to invest in those things. But the other things, maybe you want to rent, borrow, or buy and then sell again when you're finished with. It's just about investing wisely in some of your tools because I think that's an important thing. And take an inventory. I actually have a handout on that as well. That's a checklist that you can go through your tools and see what you have. And I bet you have tools that you don't even know what they are or what they do. That's a way to identify. I've got this miscellaneous pile of things that I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. One of my students sent me a picture once and I told her and she's like, oh, I'm keeping that. That's a good tool. So do a little inventory. Now, let's talk about room by room planning. And this can be where you get a little overwhelmed, but again, it's part of your brain dump. But let's talk about the basics of every room before we talk about individual things that might be in various spaces. Any room redesign, refresh, okay? Again, we're not talking about gutting the rooms down to studs. We're talking about the refresh. Paint, furniture, window treatments, and lighting. This is all kind of at the core of the rooms. So are you just going to repaint a room? Are you going to repaint ceilings, walls, and trim? Are you going to do a accent wall? The furniture. Are you replacing all of the furniture? Are you replacing some of the pieces? Is there one particular piece that you need to bring in to kind of ground the room or anchor it in a different way? What about the lighting? Do you have the old-fashioned hi-hat recessed lighting and you want to change to LED? Do you have light fixtures you want to change? These are all DIY doable projects. Window treatments. We're going to talk about those. These are the things you need to assess in each of those rooms as you go through and decide, what am I keeping? What am I changing? And maybe what am I modifying? Because if you have got this great piece of furniture in your room and it's solid wood and it's great storage and it fits, but you don't like the color anymore, then paint it. There's ways for you to have the space you like on a budget that you can afford. You just have to think outside the box sometimes. Now, when it comes to painting, do you have to paint everything in that room? No. If the ceiling's in great shape and it's clean and it's white and it's not stained, then don't paint the ceiling. Focus on the walls. Are you going to lighten that room up with different paint? Or are you going to use darker paint to kind of make it richer and create that accent? The furniture, new, repurposed. Are you buying online? You know, I'm all for buying not upholstery pieces online because I prefer something that I know has been cleaned. But are you going to buy hardwood furniture and you're going to paint it and refinish it or leave it as it is? Furniture, when you're making those investments, don't skimp on certain pieces. Don't skimp on a mattress. Don't skimp on your sofa. These are really important pieces. And don't skimp on your kitchen table, things that get used all the time. Your windows treatments. What is the function and the form that you need? Is it light blocking? Is it filtering? All of those things matter. So you get the purpose out of your window that you need from those window treatments. And again, the lighting. Are you changing out a table lamp or are you just changing out a shade? Let's think about all of those stages and steps so that you can create the space that you want. And right now, we're going to take a commercial break and hear from our sponsors. Since 1980, Laurel House has been a lifeline for domestic violence survivors in Montgomery County, offering a safe shelter, a 24/7 hotline, trauma counseling, relationship education for teens, court accompaniment, and medical advocacy. But there's more work to do. Together, we can end domestic violence and help families rebuild their lives. Whether it's volunteering at their thrift shops, assisting with childcare, or becoming a text line responder, your time can make a real impact. With training and support, you can become an advocate for survivors in our community. To learn more about volunteering, donating, or simply offering your support, visit laurelhouse.org or call 610-277-1860. Every action counts. Together, we can make a difference. Here's a word from our sponsor, The Showerhead Store. Replacing your showerhead is a very DIY doable project. And I'm glad I added this rain showerhead to my morning routine. Crafted with premium chrome, this rain showerhead not only adds a touch of elegance to your bathroom, but it delivers durability and a stunning shine. I love the Hammerhead dual shower with a 72-inch hose. It is perfect for washing you, the dog, and the shower itself. It comes in a variety of colors and styles, so check them out at theshowerheadstore.com. Now it's time to grab your notebook and go on a house tour. This is where you're going to walk room by room. Now, we already talked about paint, furniture, lighting, and window treatments, kind of those basic elements that you want to look at in each of these rooms as you're doing your brainstorming. But I want you to look at other things. When you talk about your entryway, not just the inside entryway, but your front porch, you know, what are any things that you need to make changes on? Do you want new house numbers? Do you want the new doormat? Do you want to paint that front door? Do you want new porch lights? Even just the doormat, okay? Like the holiday doormat went away. Let's put out a fresh one for the new year. Write it all down. on the inside of your entry, in that foyer. What do you need to make that space work for you? It's not just how pretty does our entry space look. It is a space of function. Do you have a coat closet there? Do you need to, as part of your project list, to go through the coat closet and just get rid of things? Do you need to reorganize it so that you have enough room for the coats that you need to put away? Do you need shoe storage at the front door? Does your family come through the front door, or do you keep your shoes off? Do you have shoes everywhere? Like, is this driving you crazy and you want a new routine, a new habit for your family come the new year? So what else in that space? Do you need to put up like a hall tree pegboard with hooks so people can hang their coats, so that kids can have their school bags? What do you do about the sports equipment? How is that space working for you? I don't want you to just look at this from a perspective of, is it pretty? How does that space work? What do you need to store and organize so that you can plan on making that space work for you, that you feel calm, that it stays organized, that you can stay on top of it and you can clean easier? Now, don't forget, a small table by the door is always great for the keys, for the mail. And I like having a mirror by the door, because it's a way to just check yourself one last time as you walk out the door. Little things that just make a space work. Kitchen. No, we're not talking about gutting the kitchen. We're not talking about all new cabinets, all new countertops. We're talking about, what can you do with, say, $1,000, $1,500, and a couple weekends to give yourself a new kitchen space? So we talked about, obviously, the paint. That is huge, just repainting the kitchen. But here are some other things you can do. There's cabinet refinishing. So even if you have, you're going to paint the walls, maybe you do want to refinish your cabinets. And there are great ways that you can repaint your cabinets. So maybe they have a dated style or color of wood, and you want to have white kitchen cabinets. White kitchen cabinets are classic, never goes out of style. So that could be on your wish list. Changing the hardware, easy. Changing the plumbing fixture at the kitchen sink, that's DIY doable. Maybe you want to change out the light fixture. You want to declutter and reorganize that kitchen. I'm telling you, the kitchen is the heart of the house. And if you have too much stuff and not enough spaces to put it, that can overwhelm you. So maybe you need to assess for pull-out drawers. So it's not just what you see. It's the stuff that's behind the scenes too in every room. So do you need to add those pull-out drawers so that you can organize the water bottles and the pantry goods and all of that? So everything has a home, and maybe your family will cooperate in putting things back in the home. But if it doesn't have a home, it's never going to get put away. So look at that part of the kitchen as well. And don't forget, sometimes you can just change the hardware on your kitchen cabinets, and that can spruce things up. Change the rug by the sink. It doesn't mean you have to deal with replacing cabinets and replacing countertops, because that's where the big dollars are. There's all those other things that you can do yourself, okay? Now, let's move to the living room. Obviously, you want to update painting and lighting and all of that, but here's a redesign hack. Shop from other rooms. You can sometimes just move things around, decor items from one room to another, and that redesign will give you a lift, and it'll make you enjoy your space better. And it might be that you're going to use, you know, books from one room or baskets from another room, and just make better use of the space, get things hidden away, all of that. You can do this very easily. We're going to talk about inspiration and ideas in a minute, but that's where a lot of that comes in, is in that redesign. Is you don't have an eye for this, and how do you get an eye? And I'm going to teach you how. One of the things that I love doing is getting pillow covers. Nobody needs to have separate pillows for the holidays, separate pillows for the different seasons. You can get pillow covers. I love buying on Amazon different pillow covers. They are zipper pouches and you can swap out your pillows. So we've got different seasonal ones, and it's a great way that you reuse the same insert and you're just changing them up. So shop around, just make sure that they all have a zipper for you to be able to swap them. And bedrooms. What can you do in your bedroom to make it a place of haven? To me, your bedroom should be the place that you walk into at the end of the day and it feels peaceful and tranquil. And if you've got clothes piled up everywhere, if your dresser is filled with piles of stuff, if you've got shoes piled up, if you don't have that serenity feel in your bedroom, then you're not going to get as restful a night's sleep. It adds to the agitation, the clutter. It can lead you feeling more unsettled. So what can you do? Is it, one, clearing out the stuff in the closet that you don't need? So it's decluttering the closets and the drawers so that you can put things away. But do you need to bring in a small piece of furniture that can house more things? Maybe you want to add shoe storage in the closet, but that means then, you know, you got to move handbags. Well, could you maybe get a pretty bench with storage and then you're moving things into that, or create shoe storage in a bench so that they're not out? Think outside the box to make that room more functional as well as attractive. Maybe all you need to do in that room to kind of refresh it is pick new bedding. Get new bedding and then repaint the walls. And now you have a completely different look, but you're keeping the same furniture. And that is a weekend, potentially, project. What about wallpaper? And don't cringe. You know, some people are like, oh my gosh, wallpaper. My mother's house was wallpapered everywhere. No, we're not talking about the light switches and the vents being wallpapered. We're talking about maybe an accent wall. Maybe if you walked into your bedroom and the wall behind your bed had a gorgeous, rich floral wallpaper on it, you would feel like you're walking into a garden space. You would feel happier to be in your room. It would be a little element that would make it feel more special. These are the things that you can do inexpensively and with limited time and limited skill. Now, the bathroom. This is huge. Swapping out the fixtures. Maybe you have an old dated fixture that leaks, that drips, and just looks ugly. Maybe it's corroded and it's got a lot of mineral scale buildup and you can't get it off anymore. You can change the faucets in your bathroom fairly easily. You just have to do some assessment. You have to measure. You have to make sure that you have the right kind of hoses, you know, 3/8, 1/2 inch, all of those little things. But it is DIY doable. And the other thing in the bedroom, the bathroom, this is a huge thing to make your bathroom look and feel updated. And it is re-caulking your shower or your tub. I talk a lot about re-caulking because it is so important, not just from the water infiltration aspect, but from, you know, aesthetically. Do you have mold buildup? Do you cringe every time you step into that shower in the morning and you go, oh my God, I have to deal with that. It looks awful. And then you forget about it 2 minutes after you walk out of the shower. And then the next morning you walk in. If you're doing that every day, walking into your bathroom and looking at something that's an eyesore, you're starting your day off on the wrong foot. You're starting your day off going, oh, I hate my space. Why can't I get this done? Why can't I have a nicer bath? Take the time to invest in you and in your space and in your own mental health to get it done so that you can walk into that bathroom for years to come going, oh, I love my shower again. And it could be as something as simple as a $15 tube of caulk and a couple hours of time. This is doable stuff that you can handle. Now, for another upgrade in that bathroom, you can wallpaper one room or one wall. The wall behind the vanity is a great wall to wallpaper and add a punch of color, pattern, texture. Just make it feel special. And upgrading that shower head. You heard me talk about the shower head store in our commercial break. I love my shower head from the shower head store. It is so nice. Really the best shower head I've ever owned. Check them out. That'll make you feel special. And again, we're not talking about, you know, thousands of dollars of upgrades. It's minor, but it'll make a difference. And then room by room, we need to head outside. What about the outdoor spaces in the backyard? What do you want to put on your list? What do you need to do? Do you have sidewalk that needs to be tended to? And that's a need rather than a want because of safety and tripping. But what is the need? You know, do the safety, the lighting, the seating, those are things. And then, oh, I'd want a fireplace. I'd want a fire pit. Write it all down because then you have goals. And you can plan on what you're going to get done. And sometimes you can start looking for sales and all of that as well. Now, the inspiration piece. This is the hardest part. And I am at no loss for inspiration and ideas. But sometimes I need to hone in those ideas with a more concrete, executable idea and a vision. So when I have an idea for a space, I use Google. Google is like the card catalog at the library, folks. It is out there to help you narrow down all of the ideas and the dreamy things that you've come up with and put it into a plan. So use Google. Now, when I say use Google, I'm talking about I wanted to put this new piece of furniture that I bought in my family room at the back of my sofa as a sofa table server, you know, a place to have some more storage, but also a place to just fill the back of that couch. I Googled images of green painted buffet behind sofa. And I got 20 or 30 images of painted pieces of furniture. Now, they weren't all green. They were all different colors. But it showed me different options, different sizes and shapes. And some of these pieces were taller than the back of the couch. Some were lower. Some were more like a bench. Some were wider. Some were more compact. And I was able to look at those pieces and go, ooh, I like that. I like that look. And it helped me narrow down what it was I was looking for on Marketplace in terms of the size of the piece of furniture that I chose. So use Google. So what I mean by that is you're going to type into your search box, craftsman style kitchen with chocolate brown backsplash. Okay. I'm just kind of picking some random thing. You put that into your Google search and then you hit images on the tab where it says all images, shopping, maps. You hit images and it just gives you pictures. It doesn't give you products to sell and items. It just gives you images. So then you can look at them and just scroll page after page and then start to dive into those particular sites, visit the site and see more details about those projects. It is such a great thing. Now you can also use Houzz. You can use Pinterest. You can try to search on things on Instagram as well, but I just love using Google as my broad card catalog to narrow down, to find me the pictures of the things that I'm interested in and gives me the visual. I'm a visual learner. I'm a visual teacher. And to be able to see that vision on paper is huge. Now, you do have to be careful when you look at some of these things because you're going to look and go, oh, that's so pretty, but is it practical? All right. So you might look at that and go, oh, wow, that piece of furniture is so cool. I love that. I love how they decorated it. That's the one, the look that I want. Well, you have two toddlers and a 100-pound dog. Okay. What you want may not be what you can handle at this point in your life. So you also have to measure that dreamy look with what is the reality of your home, the people that live in it, the cooperation of the people that live in it, because, yeah, you might want that beautiful, say, white Carrara marble countertop in your kitchen, but you like to cook, and you're not a clean cook. You are messy, and you get into it, and you got tomato sauce everywhere, and you're cutting up strawberries and drinking wine. No, that Carrara marble is going to get stained. So just because you like it and you see it, and you want it, doesn't mean that it is good for you. So make sure that you're being practical in that approach. Now, you can also look through home design magazines. Magazines are harder to find, but you can get some magazines that will have some great images, and that helps as well. the DIY shows, here's a word. You can watch all those shows and you can see and go, oh my gosh, it's beautiful. Oh, and they did it on a weekend. Okay. Those shows are fake. And I cannot express enough how fake those shows are. I have auditioned. I have been interviewed to be on those shows. And it was so fake and beyond. I could not. Authenticity is huge for me. Was not going to happen. So please remember that all of those shows, they have a team of designers, and they probably have 50 pros with every tool known to man, and they have the teams doing it. So get the ideas, but then step back and be practical in your execution. I love to wander the hardware store, a flooring store, a fabric store. It's important to go and wander those places and see what are the new trends. I went into my favorite carpet store recently, and they had some gorgeous, gorgeous new area rugs, really pretty textures, and loved it. I was like, oh, these are really nice. Again, go in and wander, and you walk in and say, I'm really just browsing. I am just browsing. I am looking for ideas, developing a project in the next couple weeks or months, and I'm just here to see what my options are, okay? This way you don't feel pressured, and they're not going to stalk you in the aisles. Now, when you start to gather ideas, I really think you should keep a digital board or a file. So I will do screenshots on my phone or on my laptop and then dump them into a file so that you can keep track of them. If you are doing it with paper and magazines, obviously you cut things out, you make you can do a vision board of what you want your house to look like as well. And it'll keep you motivated. I also love images of your room to keep you motivated. Take a picture of your room in its worst. When it's a mess, when it's cluttered, when it's maybe even dirty, the sink full of dishes in the kitchen, take that picture, because that might be the motivation picture that keeps you going, that keeps you looking towards getting this project done. So definitely do that. Now, when it comes to paint colors, I love using Google to really see a paint color. I mean, I can do a whole hour-long talk on just choosing paint. But before you dive into paint color, you can go onto Google and you can type in the name of the color with the images tab and see what that paint color looks like in different rooms. Most of the manufacturers will have photos of it in various rooms, from kitchens to living rooms or bedrooms, so you can see what it looks like. And then you can try to get an idea of what like your furniture colors look like with that and the lighting and all. So definitely, Google is your friend. I'm telling you, you need to be using it for everything you can. It is such a great search tool. Now, part of the thing you have to do is take that before picture as your motivation, but you also need to take that before picture as your celebration. Take the before picture so that when you are done and you step back and you go, oh, wow, what a difference. Absolutely get the before picture. Even if you're just painting the room, I'm telling you, make the before picture. You will be proud of yourself afterwards for doing it. And while you're doing your project, hang up the ugly before photo, because it'll motivate you to keep going when you remember how ugly it was. And yeah, I have some old photos of my kitchen and I'm like, oh my gosh, what was I thinking so many years ago? Now, you need to pace yourself. This is important. We are not going to get things done overnight, okay? If you are a weekend-only warrior, okay? Not just a weekend warrior, but weekend-only, meaning you've got Saturday morning till probably 7 o'clock Saturday or Sunday night. You have to pace yourself. Make sure that you have figured out what are your time commitments before you dive into all of this. Do you have soccer? Do you have babies? Who are the other things and people that you need to be giving your time to? So that's something you need to be realistic about. Plan ahead. If you know on Saturday morning you want to dive into painting, well, Thursday night you're going to go to the paint store and you're going to get the paint and you're going to get all your supplies. Friday night you're going to start cleaning and you're going to start moving stuff out. If you decide Saturday morning at, you know, 10 a.m., oh, I guess we'll go over to the paint store and we're going to paint today. No, it's going to take more. So do it in steps, break it up into pieces. Okay. line up a buddy, line up your helper, you know, initiate your crew. I have a girlfriend who recently put in luxury vinyl plank flooring, and she called me and she goes, I'm going to need a hand. And I went, okay, what day are we doing this? And I went over and I spent most of my day helping her lay the flooring. And she knew she wasn't going to get this done in one weekend if she was by herself. And we were able to get it done in 2 different days because we, you know, limited hours each day, but it got done. So it's important. If you can barter, you can trade. She babysits my dog and I help her with house projects. It works out great. Have your team in place. I think that's a little bit of a unfair deal though, because I got a rough, achy body and she gets my snuggle buddy. So she definitely wins on that deal. But you want to celebrate your progress. You know, even if you set a goal for by lunchtime, we're going to get 5 rows of flooring done. Well, when you get 6 rows and it's lunchtime, like celebrate, okay? Be proud of yourself. I also tell people to make time for breaks because I'm bad about this, but I will just go and go all day. But if you schedule that break, tell your alarm clock, Siri, Alexa, whomever, that you're going to take that break at 1 o'clock. Take a half hour, stop, eat something, drink something, go to the bathroom, all that good stuff. Check your emails. You'll come back refreshed and ready to dive back in instead of pushing yourself through. So do that. And I also really love, when I'm doing a project, taking time at the end of the day to reorganize and put some tools away. Not everything, but just to reorganize it. So one, you have a safe place to walk. 2, you're creating that staging area. And this is important, that safe place to walk, because I had a relative who tripped in the dark over a toolbox and broke her shoulder. So it's important that you create that safe space, but when dark comes and you're ready to call it a night, that you've created a smooth, safe walking zone so that no one gets hurt. Now, what are the time-saving hacks? You know, what are the things that you can do along the way to save yourself some time? If you are painting, my number one time-saving hack is don't wash your rollers. If you've put one coat of paint on the walls and you know the next day you're going to put a second coat on, do not wash that roller. Because if you wash that roller cover, what happens is that it never dries overnight and now it's drippy and you go to paint and you've got streaks and drips down the wall. You take that paint roller, you're going to wrap it in a plastic grocery bag, just twist tie it on the end, it's nice and snug, and put it in the fridge. When you come back tomorrow to paint your wall its second coat, that roller cover is still wet and moist and ready to go right back into that paint tray and hit the wall. Don't wash it if you're going to be painting within a couple days. I have had paint rollers in my fridge for up to a week, and they are still moist and supple and ready to roll. Redesigning with what you already have. This is so easy. When I talked before about shopping around your house and moving things and trying to redecorate your space, very easy. Again, that's when you use Google. Maybe you want to rearrange bookcases, try different objects in different places. Inexpensive. You can also repurpose and redesign with furniture. Like I said, maybe you have a piece of furniture that's sturdy and you just want to repaint it, give it a different color, move it to a different room, take it from a bedroom dresser to being a TV console. You're not spending a lot of money, but you're creating something new with the things that you already have. Let's see what else is on my list. Staying motivated all year long. I know you're going to have this notebook and all of these ideas. You're going to have to kind of pick and choose and break it down into what do you need to tackle most now? What are going to be better springtime, summertime projects? If you want to paint kitchen cabinets, that's a better summer project where you can take them outside, maybe use a paint sprayer. You don't want to be pressing yourself, well, I have to do this inside. How am I going to do that? Think about where projects are going to land better in terms of a family gathering, your time availability. Maybe you're a teacher. So yeah, I'm definitely going to tackle more projects in the summer when I have more time than I will now. Maybe you're like my husband and I, and Christmas break is a time for us to do a project because he's home for a week. And we're like, yeah, let's get things done. You have to think about how you can, get the projects done, engage the family, set realistic expectations, and reach your goals. So every weekend when you're doing a project, make sure you have some of those little goals so that you feel confident. And remember, enjoy the process. And doing it yourself doesn't mean doing it alone. And I'm here to help.